you know, I never talked to, I expect the singers to, Anthony and them, just to figure out what needs to be sung. But so many times they pick right up on what I'm doing. I was singing about the blood this morning. I sure was glad they did, because that's the title of this message, The Blood Still Speaks. Now, that's coming from, because it's Communion Sunday, and we have chosen the first Sunday of every month to serve communion. And many times, many people don't really know the where it came from and the significance of the communion table. So really, to understand this, we have to go back to the Israelites in Egypt. And let's look at Exodus 12, 1 through 15. I'm going to read from the NLT. While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat the whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal according to the size of each family and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be a year-old male, either a sheep or a goat, with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until evening of the 14th day of the first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or their young goat at twilight. They're to take some of the blood and to smear it on the sides and the top of the door frame of the house. When they eat the animal, that same night must roast the meat over a fire and eat it along with bitter salad greens and bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of the meat raw or boiled in water. The whole animal, including the heads, legs, entrails, organs, must be roasted over fire. Do not leave any of it until the next morning. Burn whatever is not eaten before morning. These are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals, carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and first male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign, marking the house where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is a day to remember. Each year from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for all time. Now, God had dealt with Moses. Moses went back to the land of Egypt, and he would talk to Pharaoh to let them go, and they wouldn't do it. They went through several things. And finally, this is the last thing God said, okay, I'm going to judge them now. And so it's when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So actually, the communion goes back to all the way to the Passover that Israel had. Now, it's celebrated every year by the Israelites. It's important to notice that it says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, let's fast forward a little bit. They have now been delivered from Egypt. They're on their way to the Holy Land. And God instructs Moses to build the tent tabernacle, we call it, in the wilderness as they were traveling. And the Ark of the Covenant was there, which was held the power of God in the Holy of Holies. And every year now, and they would have to slaughter an animal, and they would take the blood of the animal and they would smear it on another animal. It's called a scapegoat, and they would release it into the wilderness. And that was for a covering of sin. Then the high priest would take the blood into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat there, as the two angels were there. And so we see there, not for the remission of sin, but for the covering of sin, they had the blood. Now, as we go on through this, we come into the New Testament. And we see something here in Luke 22:14. When the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Now here, it's Passover time. Jesus told the disciples to go and to get a place and to set up for Passover. So now they're at the Passover meal. And that's when he established what I call the Christian's Passover, the communion table. You see, he was at the table that was celebrating the Israelites being delivered from Egypt. And if you studied any at all about types and shadows, Egypt is a type of sin. So what delivered them from Egypt? The blood on the doors. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Every year they were to celebrate this Passover meal. Then while they were traveling, they had to kill an animal, put the blood on it as a scapegoat for the covering of sin. Not the deliverance of sin, but the covering of sin. Now here we are. Jesus has walked on this earth for 33 and a half years, whatever chronological report you want to believe. And now he realizes it's time for him to be sacrificed. So it's at this Passover meal that they're having that he says, "Okay, I will not eat of this meal again. I am establishing a new deal, and I won't take of it," he says, "until he comes again." And he took the cup and he took the bread. And it was the Passover meal. So the bread had to not have any leaven in it, because remember back the Passover back we read in there when they had it, they were to break the bread without any leaven. So now you see, this is where we get the communion from. Many people, they know about a communion, but they don't know the significance of it going all the way back in the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. That was the start. And if you want to talk about it, and many of you sitting here have been to Rhema, you've studied the blood covenant. But actually, that's where the blood covenant started. Hello? Think about it for a minute. That's where the blood covenant started with Israel, because he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, we talk about the blood covenant, and we realize that it's that covenant that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he shed his blood. But it actually goes back. You see, if you really begin to put the Bible together, we go back and we get understand how it comes all the way through the ages. Some people wonder, well, why we need to live in the New Testament. Well, that's right. But the Old Testament shows us why we have the New Testament. It's put together. And so many times we do not, connect the dots. So this morning I'm just trying to do a little teaching. I'm not trying to be evangelistic and rah, 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 but I'm trying to get everybody, because I talk to people many times and they don't really understand the communion. Or some people call it the Eucharist, whatever. Now see here, he is sitting at that table, eating that meal, knowing that in just a few hours, he will go through a mock trial. He will be crowned with a crown of thorns. And those thorns, if you've ever been to Israel and you see those thorns, they're about that long and they're very, very thick and hard to break. That was crammed on his head. I'm sure it pierced the skin and blood began to flow. They plucked out his beard. And all of us men know that if you pluck your beard, the blood starts coming out. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? And then he goes to the cross. And they stretch him on that cross and they put the nails in each hand and in his feet. And the blood begins to flow. They take the sword into his side, and the blood and the water flowed. And that blood flowed down that cross and dripped on the ground, formed a fountain that's filled with blood. It's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. And that blood today still flows. All of these years later, and I love that song when they sing, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He looked down through the annals of time, and he saw those that would accept his blood sacrifice, they would become redeemed from sin. Just as the Israelites were redeemed from the captivity of Egypt, which was a type of sin. When we look at this table is what represents us being redeemed from sin. They were to celebrate this meal every year as a remembrance of what God had done for them through the blood that was applied. You see, they were to teach this from generation to generation. Remember, I read it there. It said they were to celebrate this generation to generation. Some people have not seen the significance of the communion table, especially in the beginning of the charismatic movement. We had to teach them, but and they didn't see the significance because it had just become a ritual in so many services. It was not looked at like it was supposed to be. It was just something they do. Even the Pentecostals had got to the point that they would, and they'd say, "Oh yes, oh we got to take communion." It would just be an afterthought. But this is not an afterthought. This table talks and never says a word, because that cup represents His shed blood. That bread represents His broken body for our physical healing and deliverance. It is the table that talks without saying a word. It is so important that we understand the significance of Him instituting this at the Passover time. The Passover was instituted, was come into being at the deliverance, or for the deliverance of Israel, the Israelites, from Egypt, a type of sin. As He sits at that table, He sees that now this is a new blood sacrifice for the deliverance from sin. And He institutes a new Passover that will become effective after He has shed His blood. You see, that goat or that lamb, they sacrificed their life, and their blood was applied to the sides and the top of the door. The sacrifice went to the cross. And as I talked about, the blood flowed. And when we accepted Jesus Christ, we applied the blood to our hearts, and we were delivered. And that is why it is so important that we understand what this table really is. It's just not a cup and so. And a little wafer, unleavened wafer. It's just not something we do. It's something that was instituted by Jesus Himself before He went to the cross. just like they instituted the Passover meal, and God told them to do this every year at this time, at that particular time, and to pass it on from generation to generation. But now, I want you to go with me now to 1 Corinthians 11:23. This is Paul during the beginning of the church age. You know, you remember that the church age started in the book of Acts with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now look at this. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, I want you to notice here, it says that he took the cup, he took the bread and drank it, and as often as you do this, you remember me. But then he made the statement, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, in the first Passover, they were given a specific day in which they were to celebrate the Passover meal. But now, it says, as often as you do this. I know some people, well, the great minister of back in the 30s, Smith Wigglesworth, he took communion every day. It doesn't tell us how often to do this, but it does tell us to do it in remembrance of him. You see, that Passover meal was done in remembrance of what God had done for them in delivering them from Egypt. The communion table is us remembering what God has done for us, or Jesus has done for us, by his death, burial, and resurrection. And we are to do this until he comes again. Well, when is that going to be? I don't know, and you don't either, and don't anybody else. The Bible plainly says that nobody knows. Anybody ever read that in there? Yet we got all these people that are always coming up with dates. There's no, you don't be paying attention to that mess. Well, they're famous Bible teachers. I don't care who they are. It's not in line with the Word of God. The Word of God says that nobody knows when the day or the hour is going to be. Am I right or wrong? So why do these people spend hours and hours putting together all of these chronological dates and this and that and this and that, and they come up with a date? What a waste of time. When the Bible fully says nobody knows the date or the time. But what we are supposed to do, we are to occupy or take charge, tell people about Christ until he comes. And part of that occupying until he comes is this table that sets before us today called the communion table. I mean, that's just how it is. See, we have come to Jesus because he is the one, according to Hebrews 12:24, he is the one that mediates. What's a mediator? Somebody that stands between you and somebody else, pleading your case. Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, and he is there as a mediator for us with God. And for, and in fact, God, Jesus said, if you ask in my name, he'll do it. He's there. And when you pray in Jesus' name, Jesus said, hey, John's praying, God. Kenneth's praying, God. Listen, hey, come on now. Every time we partake of this communion table, we are saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done, and we believe you're coming back. That's what we're saying. That's what it says. Mediates the new covenant between God and people. Sprinkles them with the blood of forgiveness instead of crying out vengeance like the blood of Abel. It says here that this blood speaks. Remember, the blood of Abel cried out when you read the story there in the Old Testament, Cain and Abel. Well, the blood that was sprinkled comes and it's speaking. It's saying, redemption, 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 health, happiness, wholeness. It's speaking right now. If you'll listen, you can hear Jesus saying, I gave my life. My blood was shed so you could be free. You could be happy. You could be well. You could have the good things. He said, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. And that's what this table is saying. Every time you take a communion, you're saying, this is what Jesus said, and I thank God for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now it's time for us to partake. Now you can partake knowing that you are celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that delivered you from your Egypt. Delivered me from my Egypt. That delivered me from sickness and disease. That gave me and gave you a good life. He said that you might have life and have it more abundantly. A more abundant life means that you got more than enough. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.